With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today we are talking about FLCL Season 3 to wrap it all up in a nice little marble.
If that's what you want to call it.
But before that, we touched on Tom Hanks, Johnny Depp, on whether or not we believe who and what are wholesome as all hell. And dabbled in a little bit of controversies here and there along with everything else. So if you want to catch part of that wider conversation, patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast, $1 a month will actually get you all that bonus content, plus the bonus episodes that are going to be coming out exclusively for our patrons. So FLCL, which was my choice, and I feel like I was yet again let down by what it was, but
let down or expected to be let down,
both. It was produced by Toho Visual Entertainment. Studio was Production IG, Nut, and Revo Root for the studios. It's an original. Genres are action, avant-garde, comedy, sci-fi, mecha, and parody. And it was 6 episodes.
Yes. Now, did you happen to watch it in English or Japanese?
I watched it subbed.
So I didn't watch it subbed. I watched it dubbed. What I found really interesting, what I liked a lot, was season 1 and season 3 are 18 years apart, at least in the dubbed, and they got the same voice actors. And I don't know if you're aware or not, but the voice actor, the female voice actor who does
Haruko?
Yeah. That was actually her first gig into voice acting. If you watch it on YouTube, they've got like little blurbs and extras specifically with the Furikuri voice actors from Japan, from the original Japanese and the dubbed. And I might have watched that. I don't think you did, but it was really cool. They're talking about how they're trying to incorporate the feeling of the first season into the series, into the third one. And they did a few secondary ones. I didn't watch the secondary in sub. I watched it in dub, but I thought it was really good. I thought, compared to what I was expecting, light years ahead of what I was expecting, because I'm not expecting a lot from Furikuri season 1, 2, or 3. They are abstract, I think would be a very fair term, because you walk away with what you assume. So like, it's not something that everyone's going to walk away with, oh, that's what that meant. That's what that meant. Okay, that's cool. It's more one of those things where you show up and I'd say you're lucky to take something away. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel you.
I mean, at the heart of it, I feel like it's someone fighting against the education system, because everyone in season 1, 2, and 3, they're in school. And if you look at this in a very cold-hearted way, school in these shows are designed to make you conform to a certain way of thinking. So, and that's what the iron kind of represents, of smoothing everything out so that everything's the same and everyone thinks the same. Mm-hmm. So, and it's usually when everyone's like about to leave high school, going into college, which when I went there, you're here to learn. You're here to challenge your own ideals. Your ideas make it, you know, hypothesis, experiment, solution kind of thing. You had the scientific method, all that stuff for damn near everything. With math, you had what you thought was the answer. You did the experiments. You did all the math required to get to the right answer. And if they matched, congratulations. If they didn't, then do it again. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas now, I had a sibling go to college, and it's not the same teacher, obviously. It's not even the same school, if I'm being honest. It's across the state. But when my sibling was there, they were horrified because what I told them to expect, they didn't even get. And I didn't know how to, I didn't really believe her. And I showed up to her class and sat through a thing. And I'm like, they're talking at you. They're giving you the answers. They're not letting you think for yourself.
Yeah.
Granted, it was an English class, but when I took my English class, we read Midsummer's Night Dream, and we were told to interpret it our own way, to tell us what we got out of it.
Right, but this is kind of irrelevant of the matter, you know? I mean, like, we can't compare the classes there versus here or anything like that.
No, I but what I'm trying to say is, like, the difference, I think, the difference of what is our perception versus the show's perception. I think the show could be seen as a way to have everyone conform to a certain way of thinking, so no one steps out of line.
Sure. Okay. I disagree with that. Simply because, have you seen the fact that they just decide that they want to create a spaceship out of bottles and then decorate it as all hell, and everyone's kind of just going every which way for it? It's not so much that everyone's trying to go a particular way or conform to a role. There's people migrating to Mars from Earth because of everything that's going on. I mean, like, that, again, doesn't speak to everyone needs to maintain a mold or anything like that. Same thing with Motoyama, how she is. She is a construction worker. She does design and everything like that. Yeah, that doesn't,
working her ass off.
Yeah, that doesn't say that she's being molded to conform to a particular standard. Hijiri, same thing. How she is and how she views relationships doesn't speak to how you need to be molded or how they are molded into a particular section or way. Same thing with Tomomi. It's not that they're rebelling.
They're also high school students. They haven't hit college yet. They haven't had.
Yeah, and they're. It's not that they're rebelling. They're just doing their thing. I mean, if they're conforming to the norm, the basketball team having lost every single game,
60 something in a row, 62, I think it was,
something like that. I mean, if that says that they're conforming, everyone there is just doing a really horrible job.
They're all equal in losing.
they all equally suck at a lot of different things. So that's what I'm gonna go with. I mean, like, I don't see them conforming or trying to adhere to a particular standard or them rebelling against the powers that be. It's just them being teenagers, them going about their lives and everything like that. And even the teacher was just like, kind of like, whatever, I don't care kind of guy, is a feeling that I got.
So, I felt like he was looking at it like a lost cause, like he's got unruly students, because he's begging them to fill out paperwork.
Yes.
He's begging them to show up. He's like, I want this to succeed, but nobody else is helping me here.
Right, which is understandable, though. I mean, everyone, you know, even in high school, no matter what high school where you go, it's like, I want you to do great in my class, so please. And then you eventually, if this teacher is just worn down by certain classes, they just like, you know what, whatever, screw it, I'm done. I'm done.
I think, but you're talking about the classes I was in.
It was every class for me. But, you know, that's my viewpoint. So I can't agree with you in that everyone's like being trying to mold it into a very particular way. It's like,
I just feel like the objective of that particular iron was to smooth the world out. And in season one, that when you smooth something out, everyone thinks the same way. Smooth brained ideas, I think, is what they were trying to go with, which believe indicates lack of intelligence.
Sure, but it wasn't just one iron.
No, it was several irons.
Yes,
it was
across the
world,
and they weren't just. It wasn't just ironing out ideas. It was literally
ironing,
like,
everything out.
Yeah. Right. So that being said, it's an interesting view on the mentality and interactions in between these four people, because in this one, I don't think that there was one particular pivotal main character. Like, Kana was the main character, but I feel like Motoyama, Hijiri, Tomomi all got their shot. They all had their equally important, dedicated episode, basically, which I thought was really well done.
It was a unique way to put things because it's only, like we said, 6 episodes.
Yes.
So dedicating 1 or 2 episodes to one character is ballsy.
Yes.
It's not really going to move the story forward, but it's a ballsy move.
It moved the story forward in its own way. Like,
I think it paid out really well because it made you feel for these characters, kind of.
Yeah.
Especially when you needed them to.
Yeah. So I'll tell you this right now, though. Tomomi, was it me, or did she look like an anime version of Peppermint Patty from Charlie Brown?
Oh, yeah. I didn't make that connection till now.
When I first saw Tomomi, my thought instantly, Rick, like the second I saw her, I was like, that's Peppermint Patty. Hey, every single time I was just expecting Chuck. It's all right, Chuck. It's okay, Chuck. Straight up, I was expecting that.
That would have been good. That would have been interesting, to say the very least. So, that would have been hilarious.
It would have been great if it actually happened, or if they had, like how they did in the first season, where they parodied or made fun of South Park. It would have been great if they did something similar with Charlie Brown.
So what I noticed is I think season 1 didn't have a high budget, so they kind of had to piecemeal it together. And I'm guessing South Park graphics were easier to do. Season 2, I'm assuming season 2 looked better, looked a hell of a lot better, crisper, cleaner story, not so much. And then season 3, I've got 0 complaints when it comes to the imagery. On how everything was drawn, how everyone looked. I've got no complaints whatsoever. I am a huge fan of that style. That when they turn realism into kind of anime realism rather than cartoony.
Well, the interesting thing is both season 1 or FLCL Alternative and FLCL Progressive being season 2, is they actually came out at the same time. They both came out in 2018.
Yeah.
The difference is, and they both had Production IG as a studio. What's different is season 2 had Signal MD and Production Good Book for additional studios. Alternative had Nut and Revo Root. So I'm
did season 1.
It was season 1 was Production IG and Gannix. Gannix has a reputation, from what I've seen anyways, to be a little bit more rough, earthy, I want to say. Okay. Revo Root, I think they're... I don't think we've even seen anything by them aside from this. I think they're actually relatively new to the world, but I know Nut's been... I've seen some of Nut, and they helped work on Tanya... The Saga of Evil.
Yeah.
So, but I, you know what? Hang on. Let me actually pull it up. Let me see what else they've worked on.
Is there a second season coming out of that?
So Revo Root literally is a new studio. They've worked on this one, Slime. I've been killing slimes for the last 300 years.
That was a good one. I liked that one.
Deep Blue Song, Babylon, and one other one. And then Nut, they've only basically, aside from this and Decadence, have only worked on Tanya, the Saga of Evil, and that includes the movie, second season, which is coming out, and the OVAs for it. And then basically that's all they've ever worked on was this, Decadence, and Tanya, the Saga of Evil. Interesting. All right. So both of those are really new. Both of those have not really worked on anything. So,
well, I mean, I'm looking forward to what they do next, because the Saga of Evil Tanya, that was a good one. Mm-hmm. This anime style, not bad. So hopefully it carries over onto more other stuff.
True.
Oh, also, I realize, going back to last week's episode, I say Amineplex. It was pointed out that it's not Amineplex. However,
are you sure it was last week? Because I'm pretty
sure. Was it 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago.
Ah, dear Lord. It was pointed out this week. So that's all I got. that's what I know. Even though it's spelled Amineplex or Aniplex.
Mm-hmm.
Would it Aniplex?
Correct.
When I listen to it and it comes through, I hear Amineplex, which is why I thought it was Amineplex.
Kind of like Hulk Hogan.
You know, we're going to bring this up, are we? Okay. Let's go down this road. Hulk Hogan or Hulk Hogan. They mean the exact same thing. And to a kid who couldn't differentiate when someone's screaming, "Oh my God, it's Hulk Hogan!" You're not going to be like, "Oh, no, no, sir, 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 sir." Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan. There's a space there.
You know, to your credit, Katz also hears it as Amineplex.
Oh, good.
So, you're not the only one. You're not the only one. At the very least, there is someone else that joined you in hearing it as Amineplex. So, I apparently, so far as the people that I know hear it the correct way and can read it.
It's one of those things that, like, it's one of those weird sounding things when you read it, it's like red. And when you listen to it, it says like dread or something like that. Or gray and blue. It's one of those weird things that if you read it, that's what you hear. Versus when you listen to it, you hear what it really is trying to say.
Okay.
It's okay.
I'll take that. All right. That, going right back to it, though, really, really quick.
I like this. Cats just said, "Oh, I can read it."
But they do say it oddly.
I can read it.
Well, I mean...
Look, I can read.
Well, we know he can. You, it's still questionable. I mean, like, granted, you know, you like...
I do all right. I do okay.
You do
okay. I can words well sometimes.
Hey, I English good, I promise.
Exactly.
Going right back to it really quick to FLCL alternative. I thought the animation style, like you were saying, was pretty clean. It was nice. It was definitely here. But here's something else I noticed. Okay. Season one showed the dad. Season two showed the mom. Remember at the end when we were saying it and I said, "I want to see both. I want everything." Apparently, they knew that I would want this. They knew that this...
They heard you.
Exactly. So, we actually see both mom and dad in season three.
Oh, man.
I can't complain. I can't complain. We saw both the parents this time for the main character. Not for all of them. For at least one of them. So, you know what? I'm going to pat myself on the back for that one. I got everything I wanted.
Since we got to use our algorithms and our experiences to learn and whatnot, because we see both parents, does that really make it a main character? Because we saw one girl, the one with the hairpin. We didn't see her dad, but her dad was supposedly crazy, and her mom was just as nuts. I don't know about you, but that screams main character energy.
Hang on. Motoyama screams main character energy because you only see one and they have a bunch of siblings. And hang on. Hijiri had no parents show up at all in this. So
battle of the bulge here. Okay.
I'm just saying.
You're right. I hate to say it. You're right.
So they covered their bases. They covered their bases. A little bit, kind of, sort of. Peppermint Patty, though, brutal. I'm just saying.
I'll never be able to see that the same.
I'm telling you, the second I saw that, I was like, she's modeled after Peppermint Patty. 100%. 100%. There is no way she is not modeled after Peppermint Patty. Oh. So.
Yeah. Well, I do have a kind of a question for you. Just a kind of question. There was an extreme lack of vehicles being driven without drivers. You notice that?
Yeah.
In season three? Season two, there was one chick who just sat in the backseat always, and the car knew what to do. And then in season three...
Well, they also kept referencing season two, beware of the woman with the Vespa. And in this one, Vespa really wasn't there, but they had a food truck.
True. Well, I mean, they kind of decked out... I don't know if they decked out the Vespa or not, but like it didn't have as much of a wallop as it did before.
It had no wallop. So this one didn't have the same, I want to say, fun, passion, panaz as season one, for sure.
Oh, 100%. They're chasing the dragon on this one. They're trying real hard to make it better than what it is.
I also want to say that this one was a little bit more serious than the other ones as well, simply because it was wrapping up. And in case you were still wondering, Rick, in case you're still thinking about it, they confirmed again that Haruko is an alien.
And 17.
19.
Forever. 19. 19 forever.
Forever. And that she is actually a part of the Galactic Space Patrol Brotherhood Stellar Fraternity type thing, whatever. So she is a law enforcement officer for space that comes to Earth just to mess things up for whatever reason. I mean, this is honestly one of the things that I found most disappointing about this is before she came to Earth, or she was at Earth for a very specific purpose for a particular individual.
Okay.
And this one, she wasn't. It felt like she was just kind of there this time to have some fun, and that's about it. She wasn't really there to serve a real purpose.
It felt like she was there to fight more than it was to find her lost love. And it just so happened to be her lost love was right there. So...
Yeah. I don't know. This one, I just feel like this one was a bigger letdown for me personally.
It did lack direction, and it didn't have a clear-cut ending. But it also didn't have the mantra of, this is a normal day, nothing ever exciting happens here. Meanwhile, they're...
I mean, like, that's honestly what it felt like. It felt like when something was going on and they backtracked to someone else, it was a meanwhile in the back cave. It's like, okay, well, it just felt odd because it was like a meanwhile in the back cave type of scenarios all the time.
I get that. And I have no idea how to rectify that.
Well, obviously not. You didn't write the story. You didn't direct it. You did nothing. True. Of course you can't fix it. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having this discussion right now, Rick. you'd be back there fixing all these problems.
Why'd you get all serious all of a sudden? The eyes said it all.
Look, I'm just saying. Crazy just saying, eyes. Peppermint Patty right. And I are going to go over there. We're going to kick some butt.
Oh, God. And the baseball bat.
Exactly.
Football.
Exactly.
So my biggest problem with this was it didn't move the story in an appropriate trajectory until really close to the end. I would say maybe two episodes to the end, and then they're like, oh, crap, it's going to end. We got to hurry up. It worked, kind of.
Yeah.
It gave an ending, kind of. But I don't know. Like, my best everything was... I got to treat them like separate stories. They're not connected other than Haru. And loosely at that, I think she finally found the one she was looking for, only to realize that it evolved in a different manner than she was expecting, you know?
Yeah, I get that. I get that. But I don't know. I think... Like, for this time, she played more to be an instigator in between multiple people to try and derive certain emotions out of them, or out of our main character this time, more so than anything else for Haruko.
Okay, I can see that.
And again, you know, this also takes place at some indiscriminate point in the future, because in the second one, they weren't going to... Well, we know it's Earth.
Mm-mm.
They said it
was Earth. Continents are all wrong.
Doesn't matter. We never said it was Earth in our timeline. I mean, like, do we or not in our timeline? Let me phrase in our realm of reality. Do you know where there's a giant iron in Japan, Hong Kong, U.S., China, anything like that? Because they had those flags shown there, but that doesn't mean it wasn't Earth.
Yeah, I was gonna say they were all down. So,
we know it was Earth because they said it was Earth. Even reference, what are you doing back on Earth, Haruko? So,
I don't get why this chick seems to be the only one to be able to reach into people's heads and drag out the power.
Because she hits them with a guitar or a vehicle in an attempt to kill them. Because in the first and second episode, she was surprised, in case you forgot, that they were still alive after she hit them.
Yeah. Was she, though?
I'm going to say yes. Gave them CPR and they were okay.
Yeah, they were okay. I'm all right. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. Only Jack gives a CPR.
Sure. We could do that. All right, sir.
So
beyond that, I genuinely don't really have too much more to say. Other than the fact that this one actually didn't have an opening theme, really, for any episode.
No. Kind of jumped right into it. I sometimes wish books would do that. I sometimes wish anime would do that. I sometimes wish the essays I write would do that. But there's like nothing. There's like, hey, guess where you're at? You're here. Okay, cool. And you got to draw from your past experience from the other shows to be like, all right, we're looking for this person. Which is why when the Vespa finally showed up, I was like, yes, I was looking for that. That right? is the one thing I was waiting for. And yeah, and then we found out how they get. We found out how they get their axes. You gotta drag it out of randos.
Well, obviously. I mean, like, that's what happened in the first one. That's what happened in the second one, too. So, I mean, like, how else are you gonna get your gas-powered electric guitar?
She's like, this is a 69 Fender. Woo! Let me go smash some stuff with it. Oh.
Right?
Great.
All right. Well, I think we're about ready to wrap up, sir. What do you think?
I agree. My rating for this is probably going to maintain the 7. If I go any lower, I think it started pretty high. I don't think it increased. I also don't think it decreased. As far as the ending goes, it could have been done better, but I feel like there was a conclusion there.
There was a conclusion. I do agree with you on that, which is why I'm going to go with a 5.
Oh.
Because it did give it an actual conclusion, but beyond that, I wasn't feeling it. It felt like they were just chasing after the magic of the first one. Yeah, they tried too hard, and it just didn't. I feel like it just didn't work out. I feel like, I don't know, it was just kind of there. And how they chose to wrap everything up was just really lackluster for me.
I can see that. I can see that. For someone like yourself who's dedicated to, like, I'm not going to call it completionism, pretty close. Every game you've played, you've almost got a perfect completion rating on it.
Oh, no. Not anymore. That's long since done. That's long since been dead. No, I just prefer an ending. I prefer an ending. So, next week, sir, is your choice. And since we're in October, how about something a little horror-like?
Spooky?
Spooky. Scary. Unlike my face.
You know what? I'm going to let the first choice be yours. But I will ask that you make it a movie.
You don't want the first choice. It is your choice, sir.
I don't know any scary movies or any like horror movies to begin with. I'm not that's usually not my thing. I like comedy. I like action. So,
okay.
What do you got?
Let's take a look. See what I can't find here. Hang on one second.
All right.
Let's see what we got. I don't know. I'm kind of like, I'm kind of at a loss here for horror anime movies.
I'm not the only one.
Let's see here. How about Vampire Hunter D? Or Blood the Last Vampire? Both of those are movies. Both of those are vampire horror movies, which really honestly fits right into this realm. So
let's do Vampire Hunter D.
Okay. Vampire Hunter D. Vampire Hunter D Bloodlust, I think, is the full name.
Works for me.
That'll be next week's choice. Genres for it are, in case you're wondering, action, adventure, drama, fantasy, horror, romance, sci-fi. And it came out in the year 2000.
Nice. Okay, so it's fairly... It's not new, but it's not old enough to have bad graphics.
Yeah. Well, that's all the time that we have for today. Hope you enjoyed this week's choice, unlike me, who didn't really enjoy it too much. But if you feel like we did too much justice, not enough justice, didn't cover it right, or anything like that, feel free to reach out to us. Reach out to us at featuredanimepodcast@gmail.com, at thoseanimeguys on Twitter, at featuredanimepodcast on Facebook. Join us in our Discord. We're always hanging out in there, or at least I am, lurking around in there. Feel free to hit us up in there. If you want to buy some merch, shop.featuredanimepodcast.com. Or if you want to support the podcast, help us grow, get bonus content, and soon bonus episodes, patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. Until next time, I'm Jack.
I'm Rick, and I hope you can find your Vespa lady later.